Don't get me started.
While we're waiting for Dan to dial in, let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm turning you down.
Is that me, Emily?
Somebody said my phone was got some feedback.
Turn Dan's off. Okay. I think that sounds good. Okay, call the meeting to order. Roll call, please, Emily.
Mayor Selmer.
Present.
Cochran.
Here.
Henry. Huns.
Here.
Korsmo.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here.
Assemblyman Reichert is absent. 5 members are present. A quorum is established.
Okay, thank you, Emily. And just for the record, this is a rescheduled regular meeting from yesterday. And I believe this also puts Mr. Reichert on an unexcused meeting today, which unfortunately wouldn't be unexcused if it were Monday because he would be here. But can we get a motion to approve the minutes of the December 1st meeting?
Move we approve the minutes from December 1st meeting?
Second.
Moved and seconded. These are quite lengthy, primarily due to the report that was made by several people regarding the meeting in Anchorage, but I think it's all stuff that needed to be covered in the minutes. Any other additions, corrections, deletions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. Approval of agenda.
Chair, move for approval of agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded by, I'll let Emily figure it out, was a tie. To approve the agenda, any additions or deletions, Mr. Manager or Clerk?
No, sir. Thank you.
Any additions, deletions from the Assembly? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The agenda is approved. Under the mayor's report, I've got some redundant things here, but I'm going to bring them up anyway so I don't have to talk about them later. The DIE Community Advisory Board implementation of campground limits and policies, I'd like to defer to mayor and assembly discussion, perhaps just referral to Parks and Rec, but you guys can decide to do that. The outdoor venue item number 2 under communications, I'd like to also have that discussed in Parks and Rec with the potential, under council discussion, assembly discussion, there we go, and maybe move it to Parks and Rec. I would like no objection to appointing Betsy Albecker and Sue Rapley to 3-year terms expiring in 2014 or when replaced on the Historic District Commission. Is there any objection to that?
No objection.
I did meet with Planning and Zoning and the HDC about the future makeup of HDC, and I attended a meeting, or I tried to attend a meeting.
It's mine. You know what? Mine's off.
I was a guilty one.
So those aren't just the noises in my head.
Hang on, I'm going to turn mine off so I don't get fined. Anyway, I met with Planning and Zoning and HDC, and unfortunately, in an effort to abide with me, the Assembly has passed two resolutions to extend the expired terms of Betsy Albecker and Sue Rapley for a period of 2 months so that we could have this meeting eventually. And when we showed up to have the meeting on Monday, they once again could not get a quorum. So I need to appoint more people to the HDC. I'll do that after their meeting, which they have assured me they will have a quorum here. I think it's Monday, is it, Emily, that the HD is rescheduled?
Yes.
So there will be an HDC meeting. There was an item before the HDC which started me down this pathway of dissatisfaction that's actually been languishing since October that hasn't been able to be dealt with because they haven't been able to meet. So hopefully that'll be taken care of on Monday. But as it looks right now, I'm more or less probably going to leave the HDC issue alone for a while, but even if I change it, it'll change in code so that HDC is its own standalone committee. It's not going to be blended into the planning and zoning. I met with Kim and Steve Burnham of Occupy Skagway earlier this week, and the topic was primarily recycling, of which the manager will have a report for you today, and we'll probably push that item to mayor assembly discussion. The West Creek Renewable Energy Grant funding was denied yesterday. Would also like to move that to mayor and assembly discussion, along with the just when we sat down, we got a brief letter from the Kolosh, Katie and Greg, and we'll put that in that same location. That's about all I have. Move to finance. Dave, are you going to handle that, or is Dave?
Yes.
Dave Huns will handle finance.
At our finance meeting last night, we had general checks, 99,451 through 99,532, direct deposits, FIC, and debit memos in the amount of $294,181.80. Capital projects checks, 2193 through 2203 in the amount of $396.
We wish.
I mean, $396,191.01. Harbor checks, 2617 through 2624 in the amount of $1,498.61. Sales tax checks, 3545 through 3547, the amount of $209,790.50. And tourism checks, 4173 through 4181. And the amount of $5,640.49. I move we pay these.
Second.
Move and second that the warrants be paid. What is the lion's share of that capital projects money?
The wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
And Your Honor, there are four checks for Petrol Marine, of which I'm the manager of the Skagway plant.
And checks in there for Huns and Huns and Klondike Fuels also.
Emily, could you turn Tim and Dave down just a little bit? We're getting some feedback up here on them. Okay. Dan, do you have any input on these warrants?
No, sir.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? I'll have a roll call vote, please, Emily, on the warrants.
Korsmo?
Yes.
Huns?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay. Anything else under finance?
Under finance, we also had discussion with Randy on changing our, I believe it's account receivable, and getting everything under one package that helps with his identifying the cash flow. And the budget amount, or the amount for that was $4,300 to do that. So that was approved through the Finance Committee to proceed with in that direction.
Okay.
Money, I believe, has already been budgeted. It's just a matter of getting approval for implementing the program.
And I had talked to Randy yesterday about, you know, the abilities that he would have once this was completed to give the Assembly on a regular, if that's quarterly or semi-annually basis, on where we are with our budget as far as budgeted amounts, amounts expended to date, amounts remaining, why we do or don't need to amend the budget. And that's something that's been missing, and Randy's well aware of that. Tim?
Also at the finance meeting, I brought up, as the chair of the Public Safety Committee, I've been had a dialogue with the chief of police on the, we're going to need another dispatcher to cover the 911. The new switch that's being cut over at AP&T is not, does not have the ability to forward to the radio for the officer on call. So that's going to cause some serious overtime, possibly. There was a suggestion from Assemblymember Huns on the fire department has people on the payroll, but as far as a dispatcher, there's problems because the dispatcher position has to have a background check. They have access to information and that's you know, privileged information that somebody can't just sit there and take phone calls. I mean, they can't have that kind of access. They have to be especially read on, basically, a background investigation. So there's a few things in there that we need to look at. Possible budget amendment if we get another position before the fiscal year. But the chief has more information on that. We can move that down to discussion.
Okay. Anything else under finance? Okay, we'll move on to public safety, please.
Now, are we going to approve the warrants?
Oh, yeah.
We're still on discussion.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, now, public safety, and then we'll do it. No. Is there a motion to approve the warrants?
Yes, there was.
Okay. We took a vote on it.
We already took a vote on it. We just voted on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
did we?
Yeah.
So whose memory is worse here?
It's those noises that are.
I hadn't turned down the mics. That's what happened. All right. Okay, so public safety.
Public safety, Your Honor. Bettisworth Architects were in town Wednesday and Thursday, excuse me. We have had the Public Safety Building Committee working since June with the architects on a needs assessment. They brought needs assessment and a concept of design for a public safety building on 17th Avenue on the State Street in front of the pump station we currently have. That's the tentative site. The building, they had a couple examples, a couple options. For those that weren't there, it's a big building. There's still a lot of decisions to be made and different concepts, I'm sure, of the actual layout. But we're looking at approximately a 28,000 square foot building. Construction in 2013 dollars is going to be approximately $13 million with a margin of markup of about $18 million with all the equipment and everything for 2014 end date, which will probably not be realistic. That's everything was, the funding was capable of getting the funding and everything. Yeah, not too many people showed up last night, but I think most of the Assembly and the mayor that were here were at that presentation last night from Bettisworth. And that's all I have for public safety.
In this process that we're in for these facilities, do we have plans for the disposition of those buildings, for instance, a police station and a fire station, if we build this new facility? Has that been?
I don't think that's really been.
No, it's not.
It hasn't been? Okay.
The nice thing about the police station, though, we can move it.
Right.
As for the fire department, that's That's a different story.
We could burn it.
Yeah, we just put a new sprinkler system in it.
Yeah.
we'll recover that first.
I need a shop.
There you go. No, the reason I asked is one of the things that came out of the meeting in Anchorage was that there might be need for a truck shop here once these ore hauls start, and whether that would have any utilitarian purpose for that, who knows? But just throw that into the mix of things that we could consider when the time is right. I don't like building buildings and then don't have a plan for what's left, but that's all right.
Well, let's tackle the old clinic disposal first.
Yeah, let's get rid of that one.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Tim. Public Works.
Under Public Works, Grant's still working on a lot of little different projects that's been going on for the last couple of years, but he is slowly pecking away at the list. The building inspection, I'd like to start again next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. First meeting will be here at 9 a.m. on Tuesday at City Hall, and we'll discuss the cemetery fees and then the bear-proof garbage cans before we continue on with the rest of our list on the building inspections. And also, I did some research on the dike that would be south of the Skagway River Bridge. It would be approximately 700 feet long. I'd estimate between $35,000 and $45,000 for design and permitting, and then about $400,000 for construction, which is $560 per foot. Our original construction when we done the stuff north of there was $281 per foot, but that was a lot more massive and some advantages, and it was took place in 2006, which was 5 years ago. Things were a little bit cheaper. In our original one, though, it took us from 1995 when we started the permitting till 2005 before we got through with DNR. So it was a long, drawn-out process. Hopefully, we could expedite it, but the first thing would be to appropriate the funding, at least for the design permitting of it, which gives us a five-year window for the construction phase of it. I think it's very important that we look at that because of the infrastructure that we got in our ball fields and what we're doing over there. And if you look at the river, it high water has a tendency to want to run down that road, and if it ever does, then we'll have lost all our parking lot. We've lost, you know, who knows where it's going. So I think it's something that we should seriously look at in the next budget cycle or the next two budget cycles for protection of our assets.
Absolutely. Assuming we can get the permitting in this next budget, then I would hope the following year, if we got the permitting done, then we could do the actual job.
It's one step at a time.
Yeah. Okay. That's it, Dave?
That was all I had.
Okay. Civic Affairs, Mike.
Yes, under Civic Affairs. The first thing I want to do is actually, it's not necessarily kind of Civic Affairs related, but I'd like to apologize to Councilmember Hunt and some other members of the Harbor Committee. I lost my temper a few weeks ago at a meeting. It was very unprofessional, and I'd like to apologize, especially to you, because you were there, the recipient of it, and I have apologized to a few other board members, but I did lose my temper, and I was very unbecoming, and so I just want to apologize and say, you know, I was out of line. So with that, under Civic Affairs, we got Title 15 on the agenda to go through. The lawyer's been getting back to us fairly rapidly now with all the changes and all the way through Title 19, so we'll probably have continue to have a title or two on each agenda moving forward. Turn me up. And
down.
Then
down.
Marge has got a lot of work done in coastal zone management. I was up in Anchorage here this last week, and I know that you guys were getting correspondence on the petition thing. There's a delay in that whole process. But Marge has been doing her work, and we're probably going to have a meeting sometime. Either before or right after the first of the year to get back with Marge and see where she's at, and then we'll bring that stuff forward. So that's going, it's going along just fine. So I think we're getting there. finally, you know. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Mike. HEW?
Mark? Yes, Your Mayor. Had a clinic board meeting on Wednesday. Covered a lot of normal business. They approved their 330 budget narrative. Reduced the price of DOT physicals a little bit because of a large amount of complaints from the community. It's not going to hurt them. The clinic administrator and the borough treasurer have been working together on some issues they have, and sometime here in the future, we'd probably like to have a joint clinic finance and assembly finance work session to resolve some ongoing items and prove the good work of the treasurer and the administrator. That's all I have.
Okay. Anyone have anything to report on behalf of Assemblymember Reichert on Parks and Rec?
No, the one thing that I wanted to bring up last time, but you know, we kind of skimmed over, but I would like to bring this up since I'm on the Parks and Rec and was the chair for quite a few years. But I think, and I'm going to talk to Paul and push really hard, and you know, even I know why we're discussing hydro possibilities, we still need to go back into West Creek planning for the other stuff, you know, till whatever happens, happens. But we need to get back into that because I get a lot of people talking to me about, you know, where are we at with West Creek as far as putting the bridge out there. So I think we need to dive back into that, and wintertime might be a good time to get the locals that, you know, together and talk about how we want to build whatever trails and designate whatever for out there. You know, we've done doing it kind of hopscotch. So if we can get more of an overall plan, I think that wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. Not, let, you know, for the near future anyway.
Is it okay from the municipality standpoint, is it okay to cut a Christmas tree off the road right away to West Creek?
I don't know. What our policy
technically,
there is?
Technically, probably not because it's a live tree.
Yeah. Our policy right there is, I don't know. You know, I haven't thought about that. I generally...
Standing dead and deadfall, I believe.
So what's legally cut?
So where can someone in this town cut a Christmas tree?
I don't want to perjure myself right now. I've been getting the same place for years. Colish, Greg has his hand up. He might be trying to give us some.
Out of the flats, they're just taking over the area.
That's what I.
They're so dense.
That's where I've been getting mine. Oh, Chief, come on.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, Dan?
If you want to, I know a guy.
He's sitting right to the left of him.
Okay. All right. No, the reason I ask is I was asked, and this is somewhat funny, I guess, I was asked by a Park Service employee where to cut Christmas trees. And I told him, don't go down to the flats and cut them, but I guess I can change that. As long as it's on borough property.
It is amazing how fast, Greg said, I mean, you know, we've been going out there for years, and it's amazing to me how fast those trees grow and how thick and fast they developed out there.
Good,
fertile
good
ground.
Soil. Yeah, good soil.
Your Honor, you did mention the Outdoor Arts Facility Committee to be in later, Mayor, in discussion, correct?
Yes, sir.
I attended that meeting yesterday, Paul Reichert and Mike Corsmo and myself are all on the Parks and Rec, and we're all on that committee as well. So I have a little input for that later.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay. Manager's report?
One item, sir, if we could please, there's a packet regarding a police department request for a dispatch position. If we could bring that up under assembly comments, please, and provide some direction. There's some recommendations in my memo to the assembly. Thank you.
Okay. So we've covered the correspondence by directing it to assembly discussion. We're at that point in the meeting where we'll listen to citizens' input. We have item A, which is a second reading of an ordinance that has its own public hearing. And anything else that's on the agenda or on your mind, you can bring forward at this time. We'll start with Randy. You got anything you want to bring up before us? Michelle? Steve? Kim? Katie? Paul? Chief? Greg? Jeremy?
Jeremy Simmons, Fire Chief. Just want to bring your attention to a request from the Fire Department that's in your correspondences, I believe, requesting authorization to pursue a grant to get wildland firefighting personal protective equipment. This is identical to the one that was requested last year, which we did not receive. Still some equipment that we could use. It's an annual grant that the state puts out, and so we're trying to take advantage of it as it comes up. In addition to that, I just wanted to add to Assemblyman Cochran's comments about the process with the public safety facility. There will be a final conceptual draft that should be ready by the, I'm guessing, the second assembly meeting in January. It'll be presented at that point. At that point, I don't know really how we proceed from there. It's definitely going to need to be funded somehow, and I don't know if that then goes to the lobbyist or whatever. And so we would be asking for some direction from the assembly as to how you'd like to proceed with that. And that's about it.
Any questions for Jeremy? Thank you.
Thank you.
Shelley, you have anything you want to bring forward? Gary?
You want me to get my report on the White Horse at this time, the geoscience?
Yes, I would like you to do that.
I guess it's easier to say it than write it down. And since it's been 3 weeks, memories are fading a little bit. But yes, November 21st and 22nd, I represented the City of Skagway Port Commission at the Geoscience Fair in White Horse. And I drove up there on Sunday evening and checked in and took a walk through the trade show. I noticed right off that all the booths and everything that were there were mainly geared towards exploration, because there's, as we all know, lots of exploration going on now up in the Yukon. So there was helicopter companies and drilling companies and lab assayers and stuff like that. So I kind of was thinking, well, I wonder if you know, this is really the right place for us to be. But the next morning, I came to the first panel discussion, and that was on developing good relations and working with First Nation people. So I was also, again, thinking, well, I don't know exactly how this is going to play out for Skagway, but I'll go. And immediately, I realized that it was going to play well for Skagway, because basically they were talking about a small government that has some financial resources dealing with large multinational companies. So basically, that's kind of what we're doing. So I was glad I was there to hear. They had two First Nation chiefs. I'll try and pronounce the tribe names one time here. Chief Simon Mervin of Nachonyuk Don, and Chief Eddie Taylor from Trondekwik. I'll call them NND and TH from now on, anyway. They were very interesting fellas. Obviously, they were selected because they are from, Simon Mervin is from Mayo, and Eddie Taylor's from Dawson, so they've been around, their tribe or First Nation group has been around mining for a long time. And so they were there, and there was this the woman from, that's the president of the Yukon Mining Commission, which is, or the people that were putting on this whole forum. Her name's Claire Durome, and she used to work for Western Copper, who we're familiar with, as they are interested in maybe someday shipping through Skagway. Then there was Brad Thrall from Alexco, who they currently ship through Skagway. And representative of two from two different gold companies, ATAC, A-T-A-C, and Victoria Gold. The discussion was very interesting in that mainly the cooperation that was has been exhibited up there between the tribes and the mining companies has been very good, and I was gratified to hear that the both chiefs were very happy with the way the mining companies have been treating them. As we all know, there's been a history of problems up there, and it seems like now the companies are very sensitive to the needs of the people up there, and that made me glad to hear, because I'm hoping that, of course, they'll be also that way towards the needs of the folks in Skagway. So after the, during the discussion, Chief Mervin made a couple points that I jotted down. He has obviously been in negotiations for a while with mining companies, and so he said, time is valuable, our time together is valuable. He said, negotiators should come to the table fully prepared to engage. In other words, he probably had a lot of instances where they thought they had a deal and then the mining company had to go talk to somebody else or do something else, and nothing happened. So he said, that's important. Come to the table ready to engage. And he said, once agreements are made, things will happen fast. He also said that in the case of the tribe, when they select their negotiators to go in, let your negotiators know what your bottom line is or what you want, and then trust them. Don't just leave them alone and let them do their job. And the mining companies were also very happy with the way that the tribes had worked out for them. They told about many things they've done up there to benefit the tribes as far as training and hiring. And in fact, Victoria Gold is planning to spend $350 million to construct their mill and mine. It's going to be the largest open pit gold mine in the world in the Mayo area. And they're trying to do it all through the tribe. And the chief said he didn't know if they could handle it, but they were appreciative of the job opportunities. I talked to a Victoria Gold guy afterwards. His name was Mark Aranto, and just mentioned to him that the Port of Skagway is an option for them. If they're spending $350 million, they're obviously going to be shipping a lot of stuff up to the Yukon, and hopefully they'll consider barge and truck from Skagway. After the break, I walked back to the hotel room, and I had taken with me some port brochures, so I dropped some off at the visitor center and the city hall. The afternoon conference was more of talking about prospective mines and the state of some of the current mines. So it was a lot of geological talk, which I had to go back and Google a lot of terms because I didn't really know what these people were talking about. It's pretty amazing. But let me just sum it up by saying there's a whole lot of potential in the Yukon, and all the scientific reports that they have now are just very, very positive towards the Yukon being booming for a long time. They were talking in terms like they would drill a cobra, and this one guy was talking from Golden Predator, and he said in one 40-meter drill hole they got 8 grams of gold, and everybody in the whole place just, wow. But apparently that's a lot. Normally, I guess it's about a half to 1 gram in a good producing area. So there are obviously a lot of this was focused on gold, which doesn't affect us so much. But there was a representative talking in the afternoon from Overland. And Overland is a big zinc deposit that could possibly ship one day through Skagway. They have the Andrew, Darcy, and Darren deposits, which aren't too far from where Selwyn is. And they said that their early tests show they have potential for about 11 million tons of zinc there. So that's a pretty significant deposit. Then the Selwyn was represented by Jason Dunning, and he gave us an update on what Selwyn's doing up there. I'm sure you guys that went to Anchorage got all this information already, but he told us that Selwyn recently bought a lead zinc mine in Nova Scotia, a producing mine. They are doing this to improve their cash flow. The reason being is that I think because they're going to go public with their stock. He mentioned they're going to go on the Hong Kong exchange trying to raise more money. So this was some financial news on how Selwyn plans to raise the funds they need to proceed. He mentioned that the world is facing a shortage of zinc by 2019. And Selwyn is sitting on the largest undeveloped lead zinc deposit in the world. By 2019, some large producers in Africa and Australia will be played out. So this also tends to let us know that Selwyn's going to be in there for a long time. They have recently even discovered more on their property, so their feasibility study has been pushed back a little bit because they're actually going to probably have a better feasibility study once they get the reports on some of these cores that they're drilling. And they're drilling right now through the winter. So they have people in the camp. And they are on schedule to hopefully begin production in 2014, 2015, as we know. The last day I was there, there was a producers panel. Wolverine was represented. Wolverine's a lead zinc mine that's currently shipping down to Stewart, BC, at about 500 to 600 tons a day. In conjunction with what the mayor mentioned earlier about a truck shop, they own their own trucks and they have set up a truck shop in Stewart. So I thought that was interesting that they're doing that. They have specially designed trucks that are lightweight but can carry heavy load, so they've improved the payload on those trucks. I don't know if that's something that Selwyn's looking at or not, but they can haul about 80 tons, I think I wrote down here. Their mine life, he said, is about 10 years. So it's a smaller deposit. Right now, it costs them 33 to 36 cents a kilowatt hour to power their mine. It's very expensive. They are interested in natural gas production, whether it comes from here or even there's talk of a pipeline in the Yukon apparently has its own natural gas deposit that they might develop. After this particular panel, I was ready to head back to Skagway, but I stopped off at the Yukon Chamber of Mines office. I met with a man named Michael Kokiu, and he said he would be our contact person at the Yukon Chamber of Mines. As I mentioned, these are the folks that put on this whole geoscience forum. I gave him some of our brochures and promised to keep him updated on what's happening here in the port. And I would like to just maybe make a recommendation at this time that maybe the Port Commission should consider joining up with the Chamber of Mines. It's not very expensive, and it'd be a good way to show them that we're interested in what's happening up there, and we can improve the lines of communication and just keep our name there. And when people are talking about shipping in, these gold companies, obviously, they're not going to be shipping in bulk commodities through Skagway, but shipping in, there's going to be an awful lot of freight going into the Yukon in the next few years. So that would be my recommendation. I think we should go every year. As I said, my first impression was, oh, I don't know if I'm really the right person or the right entity to be here, but yes, I think we should, just because we're showing support for the Chamber of Mines, who put it on as a very nice forum. And so I would recommend that we send somebody up there every year and possibly join up. And one other thing I would like to do, I think I mentioned this to the mayor already, is start a quarterly support newsletter, and I'll collect some emails for the folks up in the Yukon and put something together on a quarterly basis where we can just let them know what we're doing down here and report. I was appreciated the fact that the paper lately has been putting in some reports from the Whitehorse paper. That's great. So we should reciprocate with them up there, I think. Okay.
Any questions for Gary? Thanks, Gary, for continuing to be available for those type events.
Are we not a member already? I thought I saw some correspondence on that earlier this year for the Chamber of Mines as being.
Does anybody know if we're a member of the Chamber of Mines?
I think we are.
I think we are.
All right. Get Gary a membership card. Or no, get him something to represent that we are. When he goes on events like this, it's nice to say things like that. Anyway, thanks, Gary. Denny, anything?
Nothing today, sir.
Matt? Ma'am, I don't know your name.
Carl,
K-H-N-S. Oh, K-H-N-S. I've talked to you before.
I feel like I know everyone's voices in here. I should see your faces.
Good. And is the ACE reporter next to you going to be coming up here and talking to us? Good. Welcome. Buckwheat, anything?
Yeah.
Come on up.
Dan, ask you something real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, would you ask Gary Hudson again, what was that 11 million tons, the projection on them that they were talking about mining?
That was what, Overland.
Overland, yes. Paul, do you have a number out of Selwyn for zinc?
It's certainly larger than.
And Selwyn is much, much larger than that.
And that's just shy of $2 billion.
Yep. Yep. Okay, Mr. Donahue, sorry.
Buckwheat Donahue. I'm just here to speak in favor of the outdoor music venue that will be coming up in lots of discussions in the future. And I want to encourage the assembly not to nickel and dime it, that anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000, I think, would be justifiable in expenditures, because, we could become the musical and you know, cultural center of Southeast Alaska with this kind of a venue. I mean, not just for our own local artists, but we could get in some, by having the facility to handle larger groups and things like that, my God, we can kick some butt, you guys. That's all.
Thank you, Buckwheat. Port Commission Chairman Tronrod, anything you want to come up with at this time? Okay. I'd like to take a 5-minute recess, please, until 2:25. Dan, we're going to take 5. All right, we're back in session at 2:27. Dan, you still with us?
I am still here. Do you hear me?
Yes, we do, loud and clear.
All right, very good.
Okay. We are at ordinances, resolutions, and proclamations. The first item before you tonight is ordinance. I'm sorry, let me get it out here. 11-28, amending the fiscal year 12 clinic budget to fund a full-time clinic temporary summer position. Is there a motion to adopt ordinance 11-28?
Move for adoption of ordinance number 11-28.
Second.
Moved and seconded. This ordinance does have a attendant public hearing. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to speak to this? Shelley, did you want to speak to this ordinance 1128, the clinic position, or no, if they do, thank you for being willing to answer questions. So we'll close the public hearing, return to the assembly for consideration of 1128. Is there any discussion?
I thought we had a good discussion about it last meeting.
No discussion. Roll call on ordinance 11-28.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Hunz.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Thank you. Second item, first reading of ordinance 11-29. Is there a motion to have this be first reading?
Move this be first reading of ordinance number
11-29.
Second. Moved and seconded. This is brought before you to, I guess we'll call it, reestablish a museum board. When I was elected, the museum board had sunsetted itself into oblivion over 2 years ago. And, you know, if there was no desire to reinstate it, I was just willing to let it go, but I wanted to formally abolish it. And lo and behold, there is still, and probably rightfully so, renewed interest in having a museum board. So I would ask the assembly to support this. It creates a five-member board from the community and also creates the ability to establish a resource committee to assist the museum board on an as-needed ad hoc basis, meaning resource committees will be formed and abolished within a six-month period. And I don't know of anything on the horizon right now that might cause that to be put into place. Do you, Mr. Manager, anything that you, there's nothing out there that's pending this adoption, other than once it is adopted, I can move ahead and appoint members that are interested to serve on a rejuvenated museum board. Any assembly discussion?
I'm trying to find where it establishes five. There it is. Five, okay, I got five members. And that, because I was confused, it talks about seven members potentially on a resource committee appointment, but that would be something that would just come up. I guess the other thing is, just for sake of how we've been going through all our ordinances and titles and stuff, I'm wondering if the lawyer's got to take a look at this, even though it doesn't seem like there's anything that, you know, it might be worth it to send it to him between now and the second reading, just for the heck of it. I mean, if he sees something that, I don't think there's anything in here that's going to change anything, but we have caught, he has caught quite a few things on our changes, and maybe we'll have for sake of looking at, have Marge look at it too, since she's already going through all this stuff, in case there's any, you know, anything that she would see that from her experience.
I have no issues with that.
Okay. If we have a civic affairs meeting between now and the next meeting, we'll look at it, but if not, okay.
And just to make sure everybody understands, on the resource committee, that's not another layer of mayor assembly involvement. That's a manager, curator, director involvement, and should be fairly easy to handle. Any other comments on first reading of ordinance 1129?
We are talking about the museum board, right?
Yes, we are. But inside the museum board is a resource board. A resource committee. Dan, sorry. I'm using the wrong words.
Mr. Mayor, did this language come from the museum?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Okay, hearing nothing else, roll call on first reading of ordinance 11-29.
Henry?
Yes.
Hunz?
Yes.
Korsmo?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item, first reading, ordinance 11-30 is amending the teleconferencing for the community. Is there a motion to have first reading?
Move.
Go ahead.
Move this be first reading, ordinance number 11-30.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. As you are aware, there's been some struggle since October of getting everyone together, although I don't think we've missed anything except this meeting, as far as having this meeting on the day it was supposed to be. But we've had to cancel work sessions, we've had to cancel executive sessions, we've had to cancel special meetings. And it didn't seem to me that the teleconference ordinance that we had worked in our favor, whereby we could have an assembly member phone in, be counted as part of the attendance, get paid for the meeting, vote, but not be considered part of the quorum. And that today, for instance, if Assemblymember Korsmo had not been here and this ordinance were adopted, Assemblymember Henry would be the fourth member of a quorum, which would allow us to have a meeting. It seems to me that in the language of the original ordinance that the purpose of the ordinance was to benefit the assembly members. I think that's not necessarily what we're trying to do here. It's for the purpose of serving the public. And every meeting that you cancel, the public's work can't get done. So I would ask for support on this. Tim?
I would support this. I think we can go through the first reading, but I think before we do a second reading on it, I think we ought to just keep in mind that attendance should be committed at all costs. I mean, in the event of three people here present and one on teleconference to make up a quorum, that we would not be able to schedule an executive session in that case because the person on the phone is not allowed to attend. So then we would have no quorum after. So we would not be. So some sort of language probably should. And I don't think I saw anything on executive session, so because that would negate an executive session.
Right. Executive session is denied by the state.
Right.
The previous version of this, I had also changed the mayor being able to
preside. Yep.
And the state doesn't allow that either. So I will never be calling in on a teleconference because I can't vote to break a tie. I can't chair the meeting. So it's not much sense for me to call in. However, I understand the state rules, and I'm not suggesting that we ignore them. Mike?
Yeah, I'm probably going to vote yes on first reading. I might not potentially think about it some more for the second reading. And I read all the correspondence on the on my emails about this, and the correspondence that we got from our attorney or whatever the language, state language, and the different cases that happened. I guess I was a little sidetracked trying to understand this. I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of the teleconferencing thing, but it seemed to work out okay the way it has been. I know that we have had some issues lately. We have issues every winter off and on trying to get enough people together. Some winters when my work's carried me out of town, I've been one of the ones that's been gone a lot. So, so it has been sort of nice. The one thing that really makes me nervous about opening it up to having, the ability to teleconference is there is a slight fear that assembly members could also take advantage of it or not be here, in the wintertime basically at all and be participating. Although we still have the rules in there that says you can only teleconference, two meetings?
Two executive
meetings. So I still need to think about it a little more. I apologize for not having the time to try to digest this a little bit more, but... I didn't have all the stuff on. I couldn't get online last day and a half, so I didn't have a chance to read it. So I'm going to vote for it this time, but I still want to think about it. I'm not so sure, if I.
And the only thing I would say, Mike, is I probably wouldn't have voted for this in the first place if I had been either an assembly member or the mayor, and it came down to a tie vote or a straight up vote if I was on the assembly. But with what appears to be the apathy in the community about people running for office, I say we've got to still be able to perform as an assembly.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
And if nobody's stepping forward to run and we can't have a meeting because we can't get together here, I think this is at least a way that, whether it eliminates the apathy or gets other people to come forward, it might bring somebody forward that's not here maybe 3 months of the year that is still an okay assembly member. So we'll,
okay.
I'll ask for support now, and we'll see what happens at the other end. Dan, do you have any comments?
Yeah, several. aspect of executive session, I think is proper, being that although by their oath to be trusted to not breach that oath, but of course those sitting at the table would not be able to know for sure if the teleconferencing assembly member was by themselves or, you know, had other people in the room with them, thereby listening to privy information. The aspect of whether good, bad, or indifferent from discussions that were in the past, the voters of the community will decide whether a person who is running for assembly or mayor is something that they want in there, and as far as the teleconferencing aspect of it, that is just part of the technology that we have today. Now, you have a mechanism in place that restricts the amount of teleconference meetings that an assembly member can attend, if you will. But I think some of us back in the discussions in the 90s talking about this were thinking that we were going to guard our community. I think instead what you have to realize is that some folks got to be dragged kicking and screaming out of the 90s, and this is just a technology that we need to embrace. If in fact somebody is abusing it, then of course you vote them out of office. But certainly with the limited amount that is at least in the ordinance form right now, that an assembly member can participate and be accounted for as present, certainly makes no sense to me whatsoever that that assembly member then also was included in whether you have a quorum or you do not.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone else have any comments? Dave Hunts?
Yeah, I'll vote for it for first reading, but I do have some concerns on second reading on, you know, making sure that it doesn't get abused, that, you know, it, even when you teleconference in, it's hard to get a feel for what's going on, what the public is sentiments are. You have no idea, you know, how many people are here in the audience. And it did affect this once last year where I had to fly all the way from Seattle up here. They got me off the ferry for a 10-minute meeting and I got right back on because it was vitally important for our funding for the wastewater treatment plant that had a critical deadline. So, I mean, sometimes being at this table, you do have to make sacrifices to get here to for things to carry on. But, you know, there's certain circumstances, weather, that kind of stuff. But then there's also a commitment to be here where people can talk to you.
That's right.
Yeah, you get no argument from me. I'm the one that proposed this ordinance, but I wasn't proposing it for anything to deviate from the stuff that you guys are talking about. It's just that we have to have a way to do the city's business. And you know, you should be lauded for being able to come back for a 10-minute meeting, but there are those people that can't, that do and will call in and can be considered part of the quorum, and that was my goal. So we've had a couple occasions where we haven't been able to meet. And would you have been here Monday if we waited until Monday?
No, I mean, this next Monday? No, yeah. No, I got a hockey line.
Yeah, so we would, once again, if we hadn't held this meeting today, we couldn't have held it Monday.
I speculated that I wouldn't be able to be here.
Yeah, Dan?
I forgot. What was the attorney's input from what the state's position was on teleconferencing?
The Bob Blasco essentially said that the state envisions inclusion of a quorum by teleconference.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they didn't...
Per state code.
What's that?
Per state code.
Yeah, per state code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that many, many other boards have, you know, significant numbers of their members that they're always participating by teleconference. I'm not sure he was referring to assemblies, but he was certainly referring to governing boards of some kind.
Yeah.
So the The city attorney basically had two negative things to say. One, the mayor can't be the chair by state code, although he thought he could work with us to figure out a way to do that. I'm not interested in paying more money to let me do something I don't want to do anyway. And then the other thing was the fact that you can't have people call in on an executive session basis, which I even have issues with that. If the city attorney can call in on an executive session, I'm not sure why an assembly member who has the trust of the people of the community can't. But I'm not interested in beating that up. I just want to be able to hold a meeting when we need to hold a meeting and hold a meeting on schedule as they're scheduled. Anybody else have anything to say?
I was just going to add to what Assemblymember Hans, you know, part of the commitment is not just being here for the assembly meetings, but our plates are pretty full. I mean, like committee meetings, this is my eighth meeting this week. So if we're not here, we're not here for the committee meetings, and those aren't teleconference, and there's valuable input to bring back to the table or bring from the assembly the other way. So I think that, you know, it's a commitment. We need to be here if we can.
No dispute. Roll call, Emily.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Hans.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Thank you, Emily. First reading of Ordinance 11-31, amending Title 15, Buildings and Construction. Is there a motion for first reading?
Move for first reading ordinance number 11-31.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Mike?
Mr. Mayor, yeah, we went over this our last civic affairs meeting and went through and looked at all the changes that were suggested from Mr. Blasco. And I believe in this section... this title, there was only one that we were... Is there only one that we were going to...
Two.
Okay. So if you go... If you guys... I mean, if you want... Unless you want to go page by page, unless you see anything else that you want to talk about, but I was just going to go to the sections that we thought that we wanted the assembly to weigh in on and not try to, you know, make decision ourselves. And so the first one is on, what, page 9? And that's under penalties. Bob, I think he's trying to make us consistent in a lot of our, you know, penalty phases, and this is suggesting that potentially we go to, $300 for false alarms. It's one of those, but I don't really care. I mean, I care, but I don't know what you guys think about that. Is it, I mean, I guess for something like that, this is for open burning, right, penalties?
Mm-hmm. Or
so obstructions allowed, but if false alarms is okay. False alarms is determined in writing by the fire chief or designated representative shall be charged as follows: first alarm, second alarm, and third alarm. And I guess maybe Jeremy, could you come up? That'd be, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor.
No, that's fine.
I don't know if that put a little more money, you know, into teeth behind it would help or not.
I think when we propose that, and that's a kind of a new addition to the... Actually, no, the alarms one has been there for a while.
Yeah.
It's based on some of the other ones that are already written into code. I can't remember which one specifically. And so I don't think it was... I mean, that's been at that level for years, since I first joined the department. We have not really been utilizing that section of code to the extent that we probably should. Perfectly honest, we need to get our kind of records in order before we can start really pursuing that in good faith with throughout the community. Generally, most of the people with alarms within the community are doing a good job of maintaining it. There are a few who maybe don't because they don't really know what it necessarily takes that we have issues with. And there's maybe one or two that continue to be a problem year after year. One of our projects that we're doing this winter and that I spoke about during my quarterly report is that we're trying to standardize the process for it, and then we can actually use that section of code in good faith. I would say at this point, I wouldn't ask for any increase to that.
Okay.
And then we'll see how it works.
Okay, that sounds good. That's my answer to my question.
Jeremy, can you recall in your history with being in the position you're in, if you've reached the third level fine for any purpose?
Or even the first.
But
I know there have been some firsts, for sure. I think that the, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't see off top. I know that there is at least one building in town that got to the point where there was a daily fine that accrued for quite a long time. It got to be a fairly significant dollar amount. This was before I was in this position, so I don't off the top of my head know.
Is it now a borough building?
No. No, it's not. And that system was fixed, replaced, and is currently up to code.
Okay, good. Thank you, Jeremy. Mike, anything more on there?
I'm fine with his suggestion. I just want to make sure, I want to bring it to you guys. So, Dave.
I'm good with his recommendation. Just let's just leave right.
It. Dave Hunt?
Right. The only thing that when we start adopting some of these latest additions, like the National Electric Code, that we need some mechanism that we can amend it, because some of the stuff may not always fit here, or we would like a little bit of leeway in what they actually try and enforce on us.
Yeah.
One of the examples that I can tell you is under the National Code for the Plumbing, that if you bring your fire sprinkler system in, you can only go one joint length under the building before you come up. Well, with our water being in the street instead of the alley, it's a conflict on where they can put. With HDP pipe, if you glued it all together, it counts as one joint at the street and one joint when it comes through the building. So we should be able to work on
reasonably work with that, yeah.
Right, instead of having somebody say, well, it says right here in New York City, this is, I just want some flexibility, because usually we're not always adopting the latest code. We're
back there.
3 to 5 years before we want to adopt the next one, and of course by then they're coming out with a new one. But I think what I'm thinking is, where it says municipality may adopt and amend the latest edition on each one of those. Then we have the option of somebody
wants
have.
To...
That's we don't have the
end. And that's the reason why we have it on there. It says may adopt. It says, and the reason why we did that is because I did have a discussion with Dave. I did have a discussion with him about this.
Right.
Lasco had actually made a suggestion that, oh, you guys haven't adopted the latest codes. In his comments, I think it was coming from Bob, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went to talk to Dave, and he goes, well, there's reasons, like there's the last adoption of one of these has stuff in it that a lot of people were having issues with, so we haven't adopted that one because there's things that we don't want to adopt of that.
Correct.
And so,
with that being said, I still want to be able to adopt the latest, but amend it, say we don't want, if there's certain areas that we want to keep moving, so we're not stuck
right.
with one code from 20 years ago on one of them because we didn't like a certain issue. With
right. And that's the reason why we left it. We put the language in there way it
right,
was.
Right, I know, but,
so you
we
want
may
to add
want to adopt the latest code, but amend a certain section of it instead of just keeping the old code. Because there are certain things that I'm sure that we're going to want to keep moving.
Right, and it says...
Moving up with.
And it says, I think, you know, I don't know, unless it doesn't cover it up for you, but it says, you know, a pending review. And I'm assuming the pending review is where we go, okay, we don't want to adopt that section of code or whatever, or we want to, you know what I mean?
Well, the only way we can adopt it is if we amend it at
right.
this table. Somebody's got to bring it forward. I want to be able to amend something to say, hey, we're not going to follow this section, or we're going to follow. This is the section that we're going to leave as existing. And I don't want it to be pending review by the permitting official for him to make the recommendation. It should be at this table. That's why I want to change it to say adopt and amend.
Okay.
So we can adopt it, we can amend it, but we can move forward.
And you're eliminating the permitting official?
No. I still want them to review everything, but all I'm saying is I want the option.
Because we still approve it.
Okay.
To amend.
Second.
And that includes all three of them, both the...
Well, there's four.
Electrical, mechanical.
There's four, actually.
Yeah, there's four. There's one on two. Okay. Three on two and one on three.
The first one's the building code,
mm-hmm.
A, and then okay. Electrical, mechanical, and plumbing.
So I just want to amend where it says municipality may adopt and amend.
In those four locations.
In those four locations. And I'll second that.
Okay.
Dan, did you hear that amendment? Dan, are you there?
A cocktail hour in Florida, I think.
Sorry. Yep.
Okay.
I got it on mute.
That's fine. That's fine. Any discussion on the amendment? Roll call on the amendment, which changes the language on the four representations of code to include amend and adopt language.
Hunts.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay, we're back to the main motion. Any discussion on first reading, 1131? Hearing none, roll call on ordinance 1131, first reading as amended.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Hunts.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Thank you, Emily. Move on to first reading of ordinance 11-32. This is amendment to Title 12 ports, Harbors and Ports by amending Section 1206 Harbors Advisory Board. Is there a motion for first reading?
Move this be first reading ordinance number 11-32.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Under the discussion, Assemblymember Hines, maybe you can tell us a little bit about this.
Yes, this was voted on and approved by quorum at the last harbor meeting. And I brought it forward for the Assembly's consideration on changing that. And the reason being is they have a hard time struggling to get a quorum, and then also they have a hard time on the majority of the members present to agree on everything. With this change here, if they have four members present, then it takes three to be a majority. If they have five, it still takes three. If they end up with six members present, then it takes four. So you're still with the majority. Same with the seventh member, it still takes four. But hopefully it'll help them, the Harbor Board, because they're just advisory, but they need to keep moving things forward, either to whatever is happening in the harbor or recommendations that they're trying to forward to the Assembly. And there's a lot of months they go without having a meeting because they couldn't get a quorum for that month. And they still have the teleconferencing provision in there, too. So.
Okay, on that 1206060 quorum, the first underline, a majority of voting membership constitutes a quorum. Currently, that is four. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, just making sure. This does not bring forward the alternate member that will be coming forward at some other time?
Once they didn't have anything presented at that time that they okay. voted on, so once we get this, if we approve this, then I can go back to them and say, okay, do you still want to have that extra member, or do you want to try and work with this for a while before you start bringing more people to the board.
Any other discussion on first reading of 11-32? Roll call, please, Emily.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Hunts.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Henry. Henry?
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay. Move on to unfinished business, the CBP tax, CIP discussion, 2008 Small Boat Harbor build-out estimate. What were we doing here, Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The this, a little background, this goes back to, we want to put together a request to the legislature through the CAPSI system, and it all started with the suggestion that we look at a request for the Main Street project, and it shifted over to Small Boat Harbor because that is our number one priority. And the folks at URS provided the worksheet in your packet with an estimate, and we are working on phase one right now. And we did receive some positive news in the last day or so regarding that the governor's proposing the $5 million in his budget to the legislature, so that's good. And we're still outstanding is the Denali grant application for $1 million. So I think we're putting a good lick on the phase one at $11 million on this estimate. And our focus of discussion, if you would, is would be to take a look at phase two on this worksheet for discussion of how much would we want to request of the state for the phase two. Now, John Walsh indicated that it may be premature to be asking about it, but I feel that we are all in a strong agreement that the small boat harbor is our number one priority. And I think we should have a discussion about the phase two and how would we want to split that out for a request. You know, we want to use some fund balance to pay off part of that $13.4 million. How much do we want to ask from the state? Do we want to take a look at, you know, Denali have some money? Is there a revenue stream that might avail itself down at the small boat harbor with the commerce and trade that we hope will increase when we get the phase one completed, you know, as a matching? But what it boils down to is incrementally, how much do we want to ask the state legislature and the CAPSI's request this session or not?
Okay, Mr. Mayor, and I talked to John, I ran to John in Anchorage the other day, and he does, you know, he does have some concerns, and I think his concerns are, you know, his concerns as a lobbyist as far as going, asking for money when we're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we've been awarded some money in the budget, and, you know, of course, you know me, I'm pretty strong about the harbor as far as maybe too strong sometimes, but about the, you know, continuing this project, because when we finish this first phase, you know, we're going to have a beautiful dredged area, new floats replaced, but we're actually not getting to where we really want to go, and that's expanding it, expanding the harbor somewhat and doing the stuff that we really want to do. So, you know, I want to see that continue to keep going. But, you know, John has that wisdom of how the money works and how it plays out. And so I do, like, you know, want to listen to him. And you know, if he thinks that it's really we're asking for something that is not going to happen at this point in time, then you know maybe we shouldn't. But you know, I did talk to him about it. He thought, well, and after I explained to him what my thoughts are, he's like, well, let's talk about some more. I guess my question would be, when do we have to have this CAPSIS thing done? I know we keep bringing it up, but when do we have to have that into the legislature by?
The deadline for CAPSIS submittal is February 1. Essentially, that's an electronic submittal process that we go through.
What I'm thinking is that if we have another, you know, maybe with the Harbor Committee, maybe have John there, or maybe as a work session with Assembly, or, you know, this is just a suggestion that we have a work session with John on the phone to talk about this in an approach to this CAPSIS, the funding, and we have him talk to us about it and how we approach this. And then by that time, we might have some further, you know, we can also feather out the funding possibilities. I mean, is URS done? Is this their last estimate? Is this what they're done working on now, or they continue to feather out some more of this?
We asked you are asked to put together this worksheet for the specific purpose of what is the build-out estimate at this point in time, and specifically for this discussion about the CAPSEs.
Okay, and I so I, you know, I think that, I mean, I still like to move forward with this, but I'd like to also maybe, you know, just, like I say, have us all sit down and, you know, with John on the phone and talk about it. I know what
you're right, the next Harbor meeting, I think, is January 4th, it's 6 o'clock, 4th or 5th.
Again. Okay, yeah, that would be, yeah.
I think if we can start there with the Harbor Committee, and hopefully they can, they know what the build-out's going to be, what it's going to look like. We've got some preliminary design ideas that generated this cost that we can talk to John about and get some input. It still gives us time to work through the January 17th assembly meeting.
And meanwhile, maybe we should, and just as a backup, which we kind of do already, as a backup, if we decide to go a different direction that we know we have as a backup, that we're going, you know, to request that for that money, you know, or do we just say, let's, you know, can't get the money, you know, we don't want to push them in a different direction. You know what I'm saying? So we have
how
that.
How much money do we have now for phase one in our hand?
We've got 4 million and a million, additional 5 million. He's got it.
We're at about 5 million right now.
And with what the governor did
several years ago, 4 million, and we've got what the appropriations last year for engineering design, that was just under 800,000. And I think we've had some other investments along the way, so we're at about 5 million. And we just received that, well, it's a smaller grant of 85,000 a month or two ago from the state.
And we're bonded for a million.
We're bonded for
May. Last May, that's right. Thank you.
So that all adds up to about what the first phase is.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Okay.
That's what the push has been all along, is to try to get that the funding for that first phase.
So we have to work really hard on what the governor did to make sure that that lasts through the legislature.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just to let you guys know, he funded not only, I mean, me and John Walsh, we're in talking to the budget director this fall, and we said, you know, we're of course, we're pushing for Skagway, but by our way of doing that was to say this Harbor Municipal Grant Program is a really good program, and I truly believe it is for all these communities that took over their harbors. But we said that this program should be funded, and it would be something that the governor could get off the table if he funded this whole program. It would take care of a lot of harbors and ports, you know, around the state. And it looks like that's what he did. So I commend him for that. If the legislature doesn't play whack-the-mole with it, we should, you know.
Right, we're second in that category. The first place was $1 million. Second, we asked for four, so hopefully with the governor's $5 million, that's where we're looking at being funded.
Right.
Okay.
I'm optimistic.
We've always been second. The only problem was there was some bigger funding projects out there ahead of us.
We were second. They funded one. We were third. They funded two. Now we're second, and they funded them all. So,
all right, well, we did it. So, what sort of direction are you looking for on this agenda item?
Well, Mr. Mayor, it appears that there's a consensus building to have the Harbor Committee have Mr. Walsh online to go over these numbers and then bring it before the Assembly at its second meeting in January, and that would give us about. No, a week
days.
And a half to get it submitted to the state, if it pans out that way. So.
Tim?
Well, just an observation. I mean, we have some big projects coming up, and as far as number one priority, the harbor is a priority. I agree in keeping this going forward and the direction, but I also want to reiterate that this industrial side of the port has got to be really accelerated, because we need to get some answers to those future users, the big cruise ships, the ore haulers. I mean, this is something we need to stay on and move forward, as we're going to talk about later. But in my opinion, the industrial side of the port is as much of a priority as the boat harbor. And we also have the public safety building that's under direction, and know, there's several big money projects, and we got to watch that we don't get everything clustered into one time frame, you know. And money, the observation, money is going to be a lot tighter from the governmental level. We just saw that today with the federal Tiger Grant. That federal money, Alaska got $1 million for the whole state. And that, I mean, that's almost a slap in the face right there. And I think with the cuts that they're planning to go in the future from the federal end, it's going to translate into less state appropriations that we're going to see. So we really have to stay on track and move these forward. And I don't want to hinder anything, but we really got to watch that funding, because funding is going to be key to every one of these projects. So.
Okay, so if there's no objection to having this move forward, as stated by the manager, through the Harbor Committee, notwithstanding Tim's input that the industrial side is equally important, that's the direction we should go.
Thank you.
Somebody's cell phone's ringing. Oh, sorry.
I shut it off.
Okay, we're done with that item. Clinic administrator contract. Clinic board chair, you should have, and you may not, but there was an issue that came forward about the language in the borough's code as it applies to the clinic. We have a governing board that has the, I guess we'll call it, the responsibility for the clinic administrator, and we have a code that is not clear as to how the municipality should handle the clinic administrator's contract. The clinic board approved the contract on Wednesday night, and the borough manager has signed the contract, and the attorney has recommended, I think that's the strongest form of the word I want to use, he recommended that the assembly then approve the manager's signature on this contract. It's probably going to be some point in the future, maybe before. Is this a two-year contract, Jeremy? Certainly before the next couple of years are up, I think we need to look at amending our code so that it is more clear. The attorney wasn't any more helpful than to help us say that there were gray areas in the code. And I believe you copied that to Jeremy, too?
Yes, sir.
You have a copy of the attorney's opinion on that?
Yeah.
So unless there's some reason that the assembly wants to speak with Jeremy about the essence of the contract, I would entertain a motion to approve the manager's signature on this contract for Shelley Moss as administrator of the clinic.
Move to approve the manager's signature on the clinic administrator's contract.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Well, under discussion, I mean, advice from our attorney is there is no specific provision related to approval of a personnel contract by the assembly.
Right, but then he does go on further to say that.
Right, I know, but that.
This is your word.
That was one of his bullet points, that there is nothing in
right,
there.
Right.
I'm fine with moving ahead and approving what I've read here for his signature on that.
Okay. But just you also agree that we need to do some work on our code?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, any other comments?
He didn't use the word gray areas. He said your word's gray area. So he wasn't referring to his. Going to be nitpicking.
He agreed with the gray area.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Dan, do you have any comments?
No, sir.
Okay. Roll call on the approval of the manager's signature upon the clinic administrator's contract for 2 years.
Henry.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Hans.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay. The next item is draft letter to the Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan. I think I'd like to cancel that for now, for discussion now. and move that into the assembly and mayor discussion item, especially as it applies to West Creek, because this letter is all about getting representation through the Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan for the West Creek project. And we're at a point where we need to have the assembly decide whether we're going to continue and or appeal the ruling on the no recommendation for funding for West Creek. So I'd like to have the two of them tied together. Is that all right? Anybody object to that?
So, no objection.
So we're going to talk about it under mayor and council discussion?
Right. Okay. Right. We have a draft letter before you for sending to White Pass, which is a result of an effort that the manager put forth and sent off to you, essentially asking White Pass to provide us written information so that we can understand their current position on the site control issue on the waterfront based on the information that came from Eugene Hretze at the meeting in Anchorage on the 29th of November. This has not been reviewed by anybody other than the manager and myself. And I would hope that we could perhaps see if there's any obvious things that the assembly wants to change on this, add, delete, etc., and then move this to probably to Blasco for his review of this, and then if his review is in the positive, we will send this letter to Mr. Retze and Mr. Sahi.
I was just going to bring that up, that the original draft on the 16th had Sahi addressed, and this 19th draft does not. I would like to see that.
If you look at it on the backside as a copy.
Okay, yep.
I wanted to keep it going to Eugene at this point, because okay. Eugene has been the one that we most recently met with. Somewhere in this letter it suggests that we would meet with you anytime and anywhere, and that would assume to be understood to include Mr. Sahi as well.
A good point. Some point in time we're going to have to go. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. Some point in time we're going to have to go around that, because it's. We've talked about it.
Now's the time for you guys to say, let's go around.
I think it's time to go right to Sahi personally. You still haven't gone through, you know, years worth of, you know, back and forth. I mean, you know, so you're starting to see, you know, the results of those kind of, you know, negotiations or whatever you want to call them. But I'd be fully ready to take this to if we can, to a higher level, personally.
Anyone else have an opinion on that?
Well, we can change it on the last paragraph of the last page, but we were pleased to meet with you and, you know, Mr. Sahi, any place, any time.
Okay, as and Mr. Sahi, after you, on the last, next to last line on the back page.
Okay.
Be pleased to meet with you and Mr. Sahi. Dan, you have any comments, sir?
As far as the letter?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
And just in that note, I, you know, personally feel strongly that if, you know, depending on what kind of response we get, that we ask it, you know, and potentially, I wouldn't even, you know, we've talked about this so many times before, but if at all possible, you know, have somebody go, if they don't want to come here, go meet with Mr. Sahi. And potentially our negotiating team or you or, you know, John Walsh, whoever. But, you know, we've talked about this for a year. We've talked about doing this kind of thing. And so at some point in time, that might be the route that we end up going. I know, Stan, you...
Well, but I'm okay with that right now. I mean, that's why that's why this letter is here. If you guys want to send me and Dan Henry to Toronto, or Dan Henry and John Walsh, or or some other team to Toronto or elsewhere, we still have to start it out probably with a letter.
Okay.
Mr. Sahi, can we come and meet with you? But the thing that I want to avoid, and yes, I've looked at all the stuff that we put out there over the last year, and I don't want something with my name on it that says White Pass, you have until the end of March to answer me, and then we don't answer them, and we don't hold them accountable to that date. I'm not going to do that. I will resign my position here before I do
that. That's right, yeah.
I will not put a date out there that we're not willing to stand behind 100%, 110%. And if that's what the municipality asks me to do, I'm out the door. Our word has to be worth something. And if we can't put something out there that has meat and potatoes behind it, we're just wasting our breath.
Mm-hmm.
We're just wasting our breath. I'm not criticizing the effort that's been put forth. I've tried to explain that to people before. But in every letter I read from December through March, there was some new date out there, like it was a moving target that we were giving them for some sort of compliance with what we were asking. I don't want to do that. There's nothing in here that gives a date. I tried to stay away from that. But in recognizing that White Pass has to know, they have to know that time is of the essence. We don't need to tell them that. And the sooner we either send them something like this, which I'm willing to do this with the addition of Sahi's name in here, or if we want to just forget about it and change it and say our negotiating committee wants to come to meet with Mr. Sahi based on the new information that we got at Anchorage that was different than anything we've heard before, I'm willing to do that.
Well, I'm just wondering if we shouldn't just add a paragraph saying that if, you know, mail that, like this, you're saying, the time is the essence, and if you know, if to something to the effect of, if need be, we will come visit, you know what I mean?
Right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
On the previous page, now, okay. What they put on the bottom of the third paragraph.
Okay.
Is my version of time is of the essence. These facts merit that we make continued efforts with you in these negotiations to a point of completion. I'm not interested in having him come back or them come back with anything different than what we heard in Anchorage. If we get stuff different than what we heard in Anchorage, that's it. We're done.
Right, but with that being said, we also told them that in Anchorage, you know, what they proposed was a deal breaker. We couldn't agree to it.
Right.
But you have to let them know ahead of time that we can't go across the line, no matter how much you want to talk about it.
Right? Do you
either come to the table?
And I would only say this, Dave, that in July of 2011, the mayor of Skagway, Tom Carcrane, was euphoric that they'd had a breakthrough and there was going to be a resolution to this whole issue. And then between his meeting and what then happened in the form of letter writing, everything was gone. So we heard something in Anchorage that obviously didn't make you euphoric. And we need to have them put what they mean in writing. That's what I'm inviting them to do here. We then have the option, A, these are deal breakers, negotiations are over, or we use some other enticement. But we have to start somewhere. Let's start somewhere. And Dan, what would you rather do?
Let me just interject a couple of points here, if I may. Number one, referencing Sahi in this letter is fine. That'll certainly get at least two people's attention, one of which would be his, I hope. But more importantly, to include, are you able to hear me clearly?
Absolutely. Yes. Everybody in the room can hear you clearly.
Okay. To add into the letter that we would meet, whether it's, in Toronto, meet you anytime and anywhere, including Toronto, I don't really think that that's necessary.